morning, we have an opportunity to hear what will be a very meaningful and important message from someone who is himself a graduate of MTA quite a number of years ago, a musmach of our yeshiva of YU, and is presently a rabbi and a teacher in the Detroit, Michigan community. And he founded and currently directs a program called Kids Kicking Cancer. And it's a program that has been so successful, and he'll fill in the details, but that he's been nominated for a national award, which is distributed in association with CNN, the cable news network, which has recognized his contribution in this important area. Baruch Hashem, those of us who are healthy and we're not forced to run day to day to doctors and hospitals for treatment and so on, should be thankful. But at the same time, sometimes we take things for granted. Having worked myself with people who have either physical or other kinds of disabilities, I know that sometimes hearing certain things gives you a perspective on your own life you might not otherwise get. Rabbi Elnoah Goldberg, who is our guest presenter this morning, has said himself, graduated MTA. I remember him from the Beis Medrash in YU. He was a few years ahead of me, I think, but we were in Rav Soloveitchik Shir at the same time, and the Kolo. In those days, the Kolo met in the third floor of the first hall building, Rosh Hashanah's Kolo. And over the years, I knew him. I think you're originally from the Detroit area, or you moved there?
Oh,
originally from the Bronx, okay. But I remember when he went out to Detroit, became rabbi in one of the shuls there, involved in the schools. From time to time, I've seen his name associated with various important Jewish concerns. I'd actually heard of the Kids Kicking Cancer. I didn't know who ran it until recently, about 2 weeks ago. Somebody sent me an email, just by coincidence, before you came. Someone said, you know, this program, Kids Kicking Cancer, is run by an MTA alumnus. People like to let me know when MTA graduates accomplish great things, which it's a shame all they will accomplish. Without any further delay, it's my great pleasure to introduce for a brief presentation this morning to tell you what he's doing and about the CNN award that everybody paid in. Everybody here is eligible to participate in. Please give your undivided attention to Rabbi Elnoah Goldberg.
Thank you so much. I get nervous. I was a rabbi for many years. People stood up when I started speaking and then they walked out. So you guys sit and chill. Things must have gotten a lot easier. From my day, I remember that they never ever told us to shut off our cell phones when we sat here. So, you know, things are a little bit stricter today. They never even directed us what to look at on the internet. So it's a different world. So I'm going to tell you about my favorite topic. That's myself. And I'm also a clinical assistant professor in pediatrics. I teach pain management and end-of-life care to doctors at Wayne State University School of Medicine and across the globe. And whenever I do a presentation, you have to fill out a piece of paper. Guys, I have ADD. If you're talking over there, I'm going to want to know what you're talking about. So you're going to really mess up my presentation. So listen carefully. So before I make a medical presentation, I have to check off a box that I have no agenda. I'm not representing Pfizer or Novartis or anything like that. So I got to tell you guys, I have an agenda. The reason I'm here is because I'm looking for support, and I'm looking for support. It makes a lot of sense to come back to my alma mater, which is MTS. I'm like right over there as a nervous eighth grader taking the test. Yeah, I was an eighth grader taking the test to get into the ninth grade. I did eighth grade for 3 years, so don't make fun. And didn't realize that nobody ever even marked those tests in those days. You're breathing, you can come in. But it started with MTA and then YU, and then had a lot of years here. So let me tell you why I left the active rabbinate to teach karate, and why my buddies include Miley Cyrus and Demi Moore and Gerard Butler and people like that. So it's kind of an interesting story. You guys are yeshiva guys, so you don't have any clue whose names I just mentioned. Right? But I was a Rebbe at Yulo. Guys, focus, breathe. I didn't teach you how to do that. As a Rebbe at Yulo, Yeshiva University of Los Angeles, I was teaching Akedat Yitzchak. Right? You guys have read the book or at least seen the movie of Abraham mistaking Isaac, Avraham Yitzchak. And it was the 2 weeks from now, the Parsha of Akedat Yitzchak and Vayera. And I asked the question, everybody asked the question, what's the big deal? I mean, like God comes to you and says, Kaftos Bintu, take your kid. What do you say to God? We'll do lunch, or my people call your people, those were not phrases yet created and not appropriate to the Boreola. So I told him, and I was about 24 at the time, this goes back about 8 years ago or more. I told him that Yitzchak didn't know in the beginning where he was going. Yitzchak didn't know in the beginning where he was going. He didn't know. So to him it's a party, it's like a big deal, and he's going to be walking up the mountain singing and dancing. And by Avram it says, Ve'echu Shem Yaakov, they both walked as one, and that was the challenge of life. That you have to be able to walk up those mountains singing and dancing. Yitzchak then turns around to his dad and he says, wait, Pa, you know, there's the wood and the fire. All of the wood and the fire, you can get that at Home Depot in Mesopotamia. But like, where's the Corban? Like, where's that coming from? And what does Avram answer, anybody? What does Avram answer?
Hashem Yerlo.
Right. Hashem Yerlo said, Bini, you're in. Ve'echo Shem Yaakov repeats the phrase, they both walk together. So I told my students that morning, I said, you know, that's it. That's life. You get this script, and even though you're in 9th to 12th grade, right, 18 and 25 years old, right, something like that, you think you write the script of your life, and that's how you're going to live it. That's my script. But all of life is how you respond to the script. And then my wife called me, and it was a day that phones actually sat on desks and then hung on walls. Our daughter, our first child, who was born just a few blocks from here, we lived on 191 and Bennett when I was in the Kollel at YU. So here we are in Los Angeles, and my wife calls me and she says, you know, we're going back to the doctor. I said, it's Erev Shabbos. We were just at the doctor. Doctor said it's a virus. She says, no, there's something really wrong. We're going back. You'll learn quickly, you don't argue with your wife too successfully. About an hour before Shabbos, we got the phone call, and listen, my friends, nobody here, even though you might think you are, nobody is immune to that one phone call that can totally change your life. And I remember like it was yesterday, it was 34 years ago. The doctor said, we have to rule out leukemia. 34 years ago, leukemia was not a very treatable pediatric disease. Today, thank God, 88% of our kids heal, but not 34 years ago. I don't know, anyway, I remember it was like the ground opening up like an earthquake, but it felt really strong. And We find ourselves in the hospital Shabbos. 10 o'clock in the morning, this tech comes into the room and he says, you have to bring your daughter downstairs again. By that time we knew that leukemia was not ruled out. And he turns around to me and it was like it was yesterday. He says, do me a favor, we're a little short-staffed. Do you mind just fastening your daughter's arms and legs to the table? I'm looking at the clock, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Shabbos Parshas Vayera, everyone's reading about Avraham binding Yitzchak to the Akedah. I know Avraham Avinu didn't use Velcro, at least I assume he didn't. But everything else felt the same. Our daughter was an amazing little girl at 2 years old. She would tell the doctors, no medication today, please, and tell the five kids in the clinic not to cry. About 7 years after she passed away, I found myself the rabbi of Yenisville of Southfield, which is located very close to the United States for you New Yorkers. And there was a guy who was starting a camp for kids with cancer. I thought it was a great idea. You know what the kids do, what they have to go through, and what parents have to go through. So I wanted to help him. He was looking for money. So he comes to my office and he says, I want you to direct the camp. I have a camping background. I said, you're an absolute lunatic. Every little girl will be our daughter. There's no way we can go back into there. He was a great salesman. It takes 5 minutes to make the kids laugh and then they're just kids again. Did it for 12 years. I ran Camp Simcha from the High Lifeline. And it was there I came across the situation that I now lecture about across the globe. In the old days, we used to teach in medical school that there's a pain center in the brain. It's not true. You see with brain scans, there's a whole neural matrix, which means that if you're angry, if you're afraid, if you're upset, your pain level goes up. And you can see it in the brain. 5-year-old kid from Texas. He's having his port, that's this little thing under the skin that they stick a needle in to put his chemotherapy in. He's having his port access for his chemo. And he's screaming, but he was screaming unbelievable. It was so wild, I walked in there, it was so counterintuitive, I was camp director. I yelled, wait! And they all stopped, even the kids stopped screaming. And they all looked at me, I didn't have a clue what I was gonna say next. And I just said to the nurses, give me 5 minutes for this kid. The nurses were happy to leave, and the little boy looked at me like I was the governor. I had just stayed his execution. And I walked over to this kid and I said, you know, I'm a black belt, which doesn't mean much, but to look at it, it's a wow. I said, you want me to teach you some karate? He almost jumped off the table. And I told him, you know, in the martial arts you learn that pain is a message you don't have to listen to. You get breathe in this amazing chi, this ki, tanagadala, prana, nishama, doesn't matter what you call it. You can bring in this light and push out the darkness. Watch me. And 5 minutes later, we're doing a simple tai chi breathing technique. And 20 minutes later, they took the needle out. The little boy looked at the nurse and he said, did you do it yet? And that's when Kids Kicking Cancer was born. So I started a project with 10 kids at Children's Hospital of Michigan. And last year we saw 2,500 kids in 4 countries. But I want to teach you 3 words, I think they're really important words and easy to remember. Power, peace, purpose. I won't tell you how we extrapolated that from Birchas Kohanim, but I will tell you those are 3 important words. So we teach the kids that they could breathe in this amazing energy, this light, and then blow out pain and fear and anger and stress. I'm going to teach you guys how to do this. Why? Because when you sit down for a test, remember, and you say, oh, it says name on top, the spelling count, you know, because you're so nervous. And you're sitting there with stuff inside of your gut like, you know, what if this happens? What if I fail this? What about this? And you happen to be a teenager because you're in high school. That's the usual type of thing that happens. And you're thinking about your life, and you think you're strange, and you think that you don't want to tell anybody about this or that, or you're being pulled down into stuff that you don't want to be and places where you don't want to go. And that's because you're a human being. And And I'm an expert on this because some of my best friends are humans. So we ask the kids to feel that power, to create that peace. I see a lot of people moving around there after I'm saying this, kind of hitting some triggers. And then we say, purpose. We ask the kids, what's your purpose? And they say, to teach the world. So we started bringing our kids, little kids, up 3 years old, 5, 7, 10, 20, to teach other kids how to breathe in the light and push out the darkness. We have three-year-old kids sitting in clinic and getting their sticks in their veins, totally calm and blowing out the pain. I'm a little guy, and, you know, somebody big is pushing me, and I push them back and I can get any place. When I pull them towards me, I can throw them where I want. Push is weak, pull is powerful. So we teach the kids when the needle comes in, and some of you guys get needles from time to time, hopefully from legal prescription pharmacies, right? So when the needle comes in, rather than push out against it, which is natural, the natural thing is to get tight. You get tight. And that's natural. We don't diss the natural. Natural thing is to push out against it. But instead, we teach the kids how to breathe in the discomfort and then push it out the other side. So there are kids sitting in clinic today who are 3 years old who are going, rather than having to be held down and screaming. But the idea of purpose that the kids are teaching, so from the first intervention, we teach the kids how to teach the folks and the nurses and the doctors, and we brought the kids to teach other kids how to do this. We did a study at Brooklyn University Hospital, the CDC, with kids who have issues of obesity, you know, heavy issue, no pun intended. And we introduced them to kids with cancer and sickle cell anemia, and we said, look, everybody gets lung. I thought it was cool, an Orthodox rabbi telling these kids how to walk into a McDonald's. No, you're going to get lung, but you bring in the light, here are powerful foods you can choose. And by the way, if you can do this, imagine how the kids with cancer and sickle cell are going to feel, because they taught you how to do the breath. And so they told us if we kept the weight even, it would be a win, because their bodies are growing taller, so the BMI, the body mass index, is improving. After 20 weeks, the average weight loss was 16 pounds, because they were doing it to help the kids with cancer and sickle cell. They wanted them to know that they were watching. So it was a wild thing. So the kids with cancer and sickle cell have less pain because helping these kids. And these kids were changing their lives to help these kids. And we call that the hero circle. And so, you know what? If we teach kids, we could teach adults, just talk slower. And so I started doing seminars and brought kids into companies. 2.5 years ago, I brought a group of kids from Sloan Kettering to teach Pfizer executives. That's a drug company. They had a meeting in New York. We brought our kids in and power, peace, purpose. And 3 days later, they called me from Italy. Would I come to Rome to teach them how to do our breath break? We have a trademark breath break, B-R-A-K-E, how to use the breath to stop stress. Because stress will mess up your life. And then it'll kill you. Because stress affects every single part of your body negatively. When it's that chronic, what if this and what if that? So I tell this to adults, I always ask them at this point, you feeling better now that you know you're dying? When you're in high school, you don't feel it as much. But you'll live less if you keep up with stress. Studies prove it. So we teach people how to use the breath to relax the body and to push out stress. So here I am going to Rome and teaching them in Pfizer in Italy how to do this. They got so excited about it, we started our first program in Europe at the Bambino Gesù, the Baby Jesus Hospital, at the Vatican, which I thought was also pretty cool because an Orthodox rabbi needed permission from the Pope's office to teach an Eastern meditative technique to Vatican children. And then we started getting some movie stars involved in the program. And I brought Batman Christian Bale to learn from our kids how to do this, and Gerard Butler and Demi Moore. I was telling Demi Moore, anybody heard the name Demi Moore? Demi Moore? No? Good. Better. You shouldn't. Put your hands down. Make believe you don't know who she is. We used to use Miley Cyrus. She used to come to our parties a lot, but we can't use Miley anymore for those of you who know what's going on in life. But here's Rabbi Gene teaching him how to breathe, to take control. Christian Bale said, by the way, Christian Bale is not Jewish. So Christian Bale says, I'm going to come, I'll give them stuff. Says, no, no, you and Cindy, you and your wife, you'll sit here. My kids will teach you how to breathe in light and blow out darkness, because Christian has some issues with anger when he's not wearing his Batman cape. And so our kids have started teaching the world how to breathe in light and to blow out darkness. And we've gotten some interesting recognition. You're not going to recognize this magazine. It's called People. They put me up as a hero there in People magazine and Good Morning America, the early show, and some of the other places. But no, please, that's nothing to report. Please. I was saving the best for last, the Jewish press. Okay, fine. The reason I'm here today is because we got a call a month ago. Now this is where I need you, so listen up. I need two things from you. And then I'm going to teach you how to breathe. And I'm going to teach you why. Guys, focus. Take a breath. Focus. I know you're excited. Focus. So I got a call a month ago from CNN, which, you know, is not our best friends as it comes to portray Israel, but I don't say this publicly. And somebody nominated me as a CNN hero. I had no clue what that was. I know it's CNN, but no, come on. Okay, save the applause to the end. Because you're waking up the guy. You're waking up the guy sitting next to you, so no applause. So listen to this. And this is important for me. And I hope it'll be important for you. So it was my mother's second yard side, so come and they shoot. And there are 24 heroes, and then October 2nd, they told us that the poll is down to 10. Then I saw Anderson Cooper announce me as one of the 10 heroes. So I decided that, wait a second, what's the next step? The next step is to become the number one. And the way to do that is a vote. And every day, everybody who has an email or a Facebook page, I know you guys don't know what the internet is, but it was invented by Al Gore a number of years ago. And that's why they call them algorithms, right? So they invented this thing called the internet, and you'll figure it out later, don't worry. But it really is an opportunity because there's a sign in the Dearborn Islamic Center, which is the largest mosque. Which is the largest mosque in North America. And the sign says the following. You guys have probably not been to Dearborn, but let me tell you what it says. It says, a perfect God created an imperfect world perfectly. I think that's pretty cool. Listen. A perfect God created an imperfect world perfectly. And then they rucked up. Stop. You're taking up time. No, hold your applause. Chill. You're mature enough to hear this. And then underneath the message it said, Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg, founder of Kids Kicking Cancer. So I told them, don't put my address up there. But this is a message that we're teaching Muslims and we're teaching Christians and we're teaching the world. But it's our message. A number of years ago, we had a party that was made by the Optimists. There's really a group. There's, you know, like Rotary Club, Lions Club. There's really a group called the Optimists. I'm sure there's a group called the Pessimists. Those are optimists with experience. So there's this group called the Optimists, and they're making a party. At the end of the party, there's an 11-year-old kid who's being wheeled to the front. His name is Bernard, a little African-American boy. He's being wheeled there by his twin sister, and he gets the microphone. He takes the microphone and he says in a loud voice, I want to teach you, he says, first I want to thank you optimists because you guys are really cool. You made a nice party for us and we have about 500 people in the room and they all stop and they look at this little kid in the wheelchair. And I want to thank Kids Kicking Cancer, you guys are our family, but I want to teach you all what they teach us at Kids Kicking Cancer, and that is, no matter what you're going through in your life, you can breathe in the light and blow out the darkness. And then he begins to demonstrate how we do a breath work, how to stop stress. And then he, with a big smile, this beautiful child looks out in the audience and says, and remember, no matter what you're going through in your life, you can breathe in the light and blow out the darkness. And then they gave me the microphone. It was a little tough for me to speak because everybody in our staff knew that this kid's mom ran away when he was just a baby. His dad died when he's 8 years old. His uncle died when he's 9, and that's the year he was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor that was slowly stealing any movement from his body. And there he is with the most beautiful smile and saying, no matter what you're facing in your life, you can breathe in the light and blow out the darkness. So it took me a little bit just to focus, and then I said, I want you guys to know what Bernard said, and I want to put it in your terms. Listen to this. Because Bernard defined optimism, but optimism does not mean that everything's going to be great. Optimism means that you can respond to everything in life with greatness. That's the definition of optimism. And when you guys follow our kids, there's a little boy, he's from South Africa. And I was Skyping when CNN was there with this child, because we Skype with kids in pain. And this is a kid who was diagnosed with an ependymoma, with a type of brain tumor 2 years ago. And 3 months ago, he relapsed, and the doctors in South Africa told his parents. He's now 10 years old, one of a twin. We'll give him palliative care. That means we'll keep him comfortable, but he's going to die. So they contacted me, and I sent his study to a friend of mine, John Finley at UCLA, a big neuro-oncology guy. John insists on getting the slides, and he comes back and he says, your child was misdiagnosed. He has another type of brain tumor, and we can treat this. And so they began this chemotherapy protocol at down in South Africa, and I'm Skyping with this kid today. He's in Sloan Kettering with another friend of mine doing a stem cell transplant. But I was sitting and having lunch with him, Erev Shabbos. And I told this little boy, and as I'm sitting and Skyping with him, he's having a lot of upper GI pain, like right in his gut, because the chemotherapy is tearing his body apart, hopefully to save his life. And we did a meditation together and we focused and his pain went down 4 points and you could see the child's face light up. And CNN is filming this. And so I asked the producer afterwards, could I ask who nominated me? You know, like, so she said, sure, she opens up her folder. She said, her name is Amanda Liebowitz. She doesn't really know you, well, she lives in Irvine, California. But we like the fact she doesn't know you because they're out of the 50,000 nominations, they're mostly nominated by their brother-in-law or neighbors. She doesn't know you well, but she heard a presentation you gave because we're starting a program in Irvine, please God. And she was introduced to you by a neighbor of her. I don't have that lady's name. I said, I'll tell you the name. Her name is Zoe Rock. She lives next door to Amanda, but she's also the aunt of that little boy in South Africa I was just working with. The producer says, what's going on here? Then I told the producer, yes, they filmed this at my mother's yahrzeit, and November 16th, the last day of voting, is our daughter's yahrzeit. And something's going on. But I told Daniel Rock the other day, that Daniel, he has a lot of challenges getting his IV because it's really painful. I said, Daniel, we're going to do this together, and I'm going to go, and I'm going around to schools now, and I'm talking to kids, young people. And they're going to watch you. They're going to watch you on Facebook. You're going to teach the world how to breathe in the light and blow out the darkness because you're an amazing teacher. So Daniel's going to have less pain because you guys are watching him. And you're liking him. And you're liking the Kids Kicking Cancer Facebook page. Hopefully you're voting, but that's a separate part of this action, more important. But we are looking for voter warriors, people who will go on to kidskickingcancer.org and download the flyers and put them up and get their shuls to put this out. Because I don't tell anybody, they call me Rabbi G, I don't tell anybody that Rabbi G is Jewish, but they've kind of figured it out. But I'll tell you that after the CNN thing airs, and it's a two-hour special, December 7th, I know most of you guys don't know what a television is, but if you have a non-Jewish neighbor who does, you can probably get permission to watch it. And you go in there, and we'll all be featured, and one person we mentioned is Hero of the Year. And to me, it's a platform, because it's not about me, it's a platform for kids. And it's a platform for Klal Yisrael, because in December, God willing, be coming out with a book, Please God. It's called The Perfect God Created an Imperfect World Perfectly. 30 Life Lessons from Kids Kicking Cancer. And you guys, God willing, will help us to get there. But this is really about finding this light, and every single person has this light. In Bereishis, we learned that man was created or with an aleph, the Zohar says. Or means light, of course. You change the or to the aleph to an ayin, and what does it spell? Also or, but what does or with an ayin mean? Yeah, skin, hide, it's that which hides the essence of life. When we go from the aleph, the oneness of Hashem, to the ayin, what we see in the physical world. So I want to leave you with an important message. Listen carefully. The 27 guys who have been in meditative state since the time I started can open up your eyes and listen very carefully now. But actually, you guys haven't been paying attention. Number one, it's really simple to stop stress. It will help you to focus. It will help you to learn. It will help you to do well on tests. It will also help you to live longer. Studies show if you breathe for 120 years, you're going to live a long time. But seriously, it actually stops the adrenal gland from shooting out glucocorticoids, the bad chemicals that can ruin your life and make you sick. And even young people, believe me, even young people can become sick with stress. So guys, listen, look up here, look up here. Breathing is the only part of the autonomic nervous system, that's the stuff that happens by itself, that you can so easily control. When you feel your body's tight and you're not exercising, you're having stress. I told busy executives, you reach for the phone and your arm gets tight, either your phone is way too heavy, you're probably using an Android instead of an iPhone, or, I'm sorry, try to diss you guys, I'm an Apple guy, or you're having a stress reaction. If you're feeling your body get tight, and you all sit there, and you're, you know, and study, and do this, and do that, and you're all tired, the ability to get stuff out of your brain, and the ability to live longer is compromised. So watch this. It's the best thing I can teach you, because it's free. You don't even have to vote for this. If you, every time you have a stress reaction, you guys with me? Every time you have a stress reaction, your body gets tight. Some people feel it most in their neck, shoulders, chest. If you use your breath to lift up your body, breathe in through your nose, breathe out through your mouth. If you're not comfortable with that, you can use any orifice you'd like. But simply lift up your body with the breath, and you extend yourself upwards, and you pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. When there's no more air left, take in a little bit more and hold that for 3 days. I'm sorry. Hold that for 3 seconds. So you're lifting yourself up. If anybody knows Sifu Sober, who's a big mentor of mine from Torah Dojo here, one of the most incredible martial artists in the world, and I know a lot of big martial artists across the globe. teach you how to do it, but you can do it right now and you can do it really simply. You're sitting down to that test, you're sitting down to that crisis because so-and-so made fun of your socks or something, or some other major issue, or your parents aren't perfect and they're pulling you apart. Simply pull yourself up. Listen guys, focus on me. The fact that there's a riot in the hall has nothing to do with life, don't worry, focus on me. Just pull up the light, fill up with air, and then hold it, and then push out any darkness, any feeling of stress or tension, and pull it out, push it out, and then pull it out, and then when there's nothing left, push out a little bit more. I think I'm being evicted or we're having a gang fight. Cool, so you guys were teaching how to deal with stress. Come in, everybody, come in. Make yourself at home. Wait, I'm not finished. It's time for you guys coming in. Okay, gentlemen, if we could empty your tent to stay here for a few minutes. There is an issue with... Guys, seriously for a second. We're trying to figure out exactly what's going on. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you. Right now there is an issue on the campus, and security is going to bring a few of the students in here for a security reason. The students who just walked in, join us. This is interesting as going on. I'm not sure how much longer we're going to go. We're going to find out more about security. For the guys who just walked in, this is Rabbi Ali Malek-Goldberg. He's amazing, and he can teach you guys how to deal with stress, which is something you need to deal with now.
I've never had a presentation bomb like this. Wow.
Anyways, you guys should listen because I'm looking for votes. Guys, I'm actually one of CNN's top 10 finalists for CNN Hero of the Year. So wait, no, we got to give these guys information. We just got to double the room. So let me tell you how to roll, and then I'm gonna finish. Hey. Let me tell you how to vote. You go on to cnnheroes.com. My name's Eli Melech Goldberg. I'm the only guy there with a beard. There's a lady with a beard, but we're not gonna vote for her. And you go on, and you can vote every day between now and November 16th. So let me finish with this, guys. Because I promised this kid, I want everyone's attention. And thank you guys who walked in for being quiet, because it's important for, at least for me. I'm thanking you for being quiet, okay? So I promised this guy, this kid Boris, I would tell this story. And I've told it to tens of thousands of people. I want to share it for you. I want to finish with that. But I need your attention again. Let's kind of focus. God willing, one day I'll come back and do more about the breathing, but we've kind of been, we're going to focus on this last story, and then I'm going to stop. You guys still with me? Okay. Boris was a kid who had not one, but two bone marrow transplants. He had a Ewing sarcoma, he had a tumor that was pressing against his ribs. Guys, give me 5 more minutes, that's it. He had a tumor that was pressing against his ribs, and he was in terrible pain. He loved the martial arts. I taught him how we do our martial arts breathing. And he kept focused. And somehow the former Soviet Union didn't teach him a lot about Judaism, and he loved that also. And Boris used to call me up after camp, and he was really effective using his breathing to lower his pain. And he called me up and he said, Rabbi G, how does a Jew do this? How does a Jew do that? One day Boris calls me up and he's all of 17 years old. And Boris says, Rabbi G, you have to tell me, how does a Jew prepare to die? I said, Boris, what's up? He said, my tumor's back and there's nothing for me. I said, no, I want to get... He said, no, you got to tell me, how does a Jew prepare to die? What do you tell a 17-year-old kid how to prepare to die? I said, Boris, We don't prepare to die, you have to prepare to live, but you have to understand that every day is life. When you get up in the morning and you can kiss your mom and you say, Modani, you can thank God that you're alive today, Every day is life. And when you can smile at your friends despite your pain and breathe in the light and push out the darkness, then that's a very successful day. You know, we were just reading about people living 1,000 years in Parshat Noach, up to. That means like they retired at 650, they bought condos at 750 on the shores of Mesopotamia. So a person died at 700, it's like never cut off in their youth. And somebody lives, you know. There's also a fruit fly, the Aphormis, which actually lives for one day, 24 hours. It puts speed dating in a new light. And this fruit fly, if you died at 16 hours, that's like cut off in the teenage years. 28 hours is like, you know, the AKs, as we used to call it, senior citizens. I've had 2-year-old kids, 3-year-old kids, 5-year-old kids. We give black belts to kids before they pass away. You can see some of them on YouTube. I've had 5-year-old kids get up in front of thousands of their friends and family and say they're getting their black belt because they've defeated their cancer. Because they're not afraid, they're not angry. If anything, they're closer to God and the people around them. These are Jews and Christians and Muslims. Doesn't matter. In the Talmud, we talk about a long life as arichat yomim. That means having lengthy days. And that's what power, peace, purpose means. You might be 14 or 15 or 16 or 17 years old or 18 years old. And people ask me all the time, how do you deal with kids? How do you deal with kids dying? And I tell them it's really easy. We cry. I have black belts that I've trained who teach Green Beret, really tough men and women. And I told them, when you stop being able to cry, then you quit. Crying's okay. But I tell them, you know, but the really tragic thing is not dealing with the death of a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old. That hurts, and that's awful. But the most tragic is the death of a 95-year-old person, and you're with them, and they don't have a clue why they lived. And you may be 15 years old, but I promise you, the jump from 15 years old to 58 years old is about 3.5 months. Goes quick. School goes slow. Life goes quick. And then you turn around and say, what happened? That's tragic. You don't have a purpose for getting up every single morning. So this young man, Boris, I was able to get his scans to a friend of mine at Sloan Kettering, who could attest to the story. Some of you probably know him, Lenny Wexler. He's still a doctor at Memorial Sloan Kettering. He's a firm guy. And Lenny had a protocol for Boris, and his tumor began to shrink. And then Boris calls me up, he's 17 years old, and he says, Rabbi G, I just want to say God bless you. I said, Boris, God bless you. And this young man has been through hell several times. He says, you know what? I think he has already. I couldn't talk. If this kid felt blessed, I couldn't talk. I just hung up and I said, I'll tell you later, and I just was humbled by 17 years old. But 14 months later, the tumor came with a vengeance. And even the great docs at Sloan Kettering did absolutely nothing for Boris. And Boris was dying, he was in Queens, and I went to see him a few times at his home. I would speak to his sister. And then one day, Lenny Wexler calls me and he says, Eli Melech, I just want to tell you, Boris is going to die today. And I called up Vanessa, I called up his sister, and I said, do me a favor, put the phone by Boris's ear. She said, Rabbi, gee, it's too late. You see, Boris has been in a deep coma for 3 days, totally non-responsive. It's too late. I said, Anisha, do me a favor, just put the phone by his ear. And she humored me, and all of a sudden I can hear Boris's very slow breathing. I said to him, Boris, remember we said that every day is life. Now it's every second. But don't be afraid. I want you to look for a light. I want you to look for a light which is a reflection of your soul and God's love for you. Just look for this light. And then she took the phone away and Boris died very soon afterwards. I couldn't get to the funeral. I came for the shloshim. I was speaking to our staff. I stopped at the home. Before I could sit down, I was with my assistant, Zahava Farman. before I could sit down, Boris' mom said to me, Rabbi Goldberg, you have to tell me, what did you say to Boris at the end? I said, Mrs. Niyazov, what do you ask? She said, it was the most amazing thing. You see, our son was in a deep, deep coma, totally non-responsive for 3 days. After his sister took the phone away from Boris's ear, Boris opened up his eyes. And then he sat up. We couldn't believe it. We were like trying to get his attention. It was like we weren't in the room. Boris looked like he was looking out, like he was looking for something. And then his face lit up. And then he closed his eyes and he laid down. And then he died. You have to tell me, what did you say to Boris at the end? My dear friends, this is not about dying. That's really simple. Everybody will figure that out one day, guaranteed. The challenge is living, but living with a light, living with a purpose, being able to take in that breath and focus yourself, because that's an ongoing battle between our neshama, our light, and our body. I want you to remember to, and again, I ask you a big, big favor. You guys have just joined the room. We need to get this on the listservs. We need to get this in front of students. We need to get this. Everybody who has an email or a Facebook address can vote. And it's not really voting for me, even though it's only Melon Goldberg there. And it is $100,000 extra for Kids Kicking Cancer. It's not a vote for me, it's a vote for light. Our ability to have a platform to spread this light across the globe. Millions of people are going to see. Baruch Hashem, we're already part of that process at CNN. But it's not about me. It's about all of us. Being a light to the nations. And letting everybody know, no matter what you face in your life, you can bring in the light and push out the darkness. And that's what it's all about. So I'll end with those three words. Power, peace, purpose. Thank you very much.
You all receive an email again of information of Rabbi Goldberg and ways to get in touch with him if you want to speak to him. Just for the guys on campus, what's going on? There was a slight threat to one of the buildings. I don't think anything was serious. They're dealing with it. So if we can ask that the MTA guys to not leave the building. You should go to Tanakh anyways, but don't go out into the street right now. The security's gonna tell you you can't go out anyways, so please go upstairs. By the time school ends, everything should be dealt with appropriately. Once again, thank you, Rabbi Goldberg, and guys, make sure you get at home today and vote.